السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله ود فضل كرم إحسان of الله تعالى. Allah Rabbul Izzat has allowed for us to be here in His house on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala accept us all, Allah Ta'ala keep us with Iman, Allah Ta'ala take us away from the dunya with Iman, and Allah Ta'ala resurrect us with Iman. The Quran Sharif ayat that we have recited, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is warning us, Allah Ta'ala is informing us, Allah Ta'ala is advising us. Allah Ta'ala says, اِعْلَمُوا, that know well that this worldly life is just a life of play and futility. لَعِبْ وَلَهُ. Ulama, Mufassireen, they have explained the different stages of a man's life or a human being's life in this ayat kareema. So first Allah Ta'ala says that this worldly life is la'ib and lahw, games and futility. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says wazina, adornment. Then Allah Ta'ala says watafakhurum bainakum. Then this life is where people vie with one another. They want to show how much they have acquired, who is better than who has got better skill than who. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. And then the last thing, the last stage is where we are now boasting, how many children I got, how many grandchildren I got, how much wealth I have amassed, how many properties I own. So ulama explain that the stage of la'ib is a stage of childhood, when the children start playing with toys. And when they are playing with their toys, that is the most important thing to them. They become so attached to those toys that sometimes it happens, you went to visit by a friend's house or a family member's house, and that child in that home got a toy. And our child only played for that toy with 10 minutes or 15 minutes. But time to leave, our child is crying for that toy. So attached the child becomes with their games, with their toys at that stage in their lives. I remember once, Hazrat Mu'izz Patel Sahib had gone for Umrah. Allah Ta'ala had allowed for us to be there. And we were coming out of the Haram, and some people were selling some toys there. Just outside the Haram, you get these vendors. So they were selling some toys. So there was one elderly person from Durban who was also there. And Hazrat told him, he said, go play with the toy. So He's looking at Hazrat and he's smiling. And Hazrat said, no, go down there, go and play with the toy. So he's smiling at Hazrat. So Hazrat then asked us all, he said that, will you do it? And if he has to do it, what will you do? If this elderly man has to go and start playing with this toy, so what will you do? Won't all of you laugh? You'll all start laughing at him. Old man like this, he's come for Umrah, and now he got distracted with this toy, and he's playing with this toy here on the ground. And then Hazrat said, imagine how the Malaika must be looking at us. The Malaika, Allah Ta'ala's angels, Allah Ta'ala himself, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he is informed of our amal, that how they must be looking at us, how the Malaika must be laughing at us, that Allah Ta'ala has put us here in the dunya for a purpose. We have been sent to do something, and we got so distracted with the soil of this world that we got caught up in our games and we forgot our objective. So that stage in life, childhood, a person is playing with his toys, he's playing with his matchbox cars, and then he gets a little bit older, and now comes that time in life of futility. Now the person is talking about soccer scores, cricket scores, things that have absolutely no benefit at all in his life. It's not going to assist his dunya. It's definitely not going to assist his deen. But he gets so involved in these things and so carried away with these things that he actually feels he's part of that team. We won. We lost because of this. We bought that person for so many million. He starts talking like he is a part of it. He even starts wearing the clothing. He starts imitating. So this is a stage of futility, and unfortunately sometimes when a person doesn't make the Islam, he doesn't get guidance, then sometimes a person is gone into old age also and he's still caught up in this futility. Allahumma hafazna min, Allah Ta'ala protect us. And thereafter comes the time of tafakhur, boasting. Maaf, before that zina. Zina, adornment. So this stage is now the person is in his late teens, early 20s, for a male, a girl, it may be a little younger. And that same child whom the mother had to force him to put little bit cream on his face, to comb his hair, to be a little bit neat and tidy, presentable. Even on Eid day, sometimes she had to change him 2 times to make him presentable. Now that same child, you shouting him, by how long you take in the bathroom now? Now that same child, he got a shopping list of cosmetics. Nowadays the boys too got shopping list of cosmetics. And that same child now is taking so long in front of the mirror. The one hair is little bit off, you know, alignment is not right. Bichara can't move from the mirror now. Like as if to say, when he steps out, the whole world is just waiting to see him. And they're going to count every strand of hair on his head. That one thing too can't be off. And if the barber made a mistake, then khalas, finish. Finish for that barber also. So this is that age of zina. And now the person progresses in life, he goes further, he starts working, he starts earning. And now comes the stage of tafakhur. So I got GTI. He got GTI, I got GTIR. He bought in that locality, I bought in this locality. His taps came from China, mine came from Italy. So it comes to that age now. Tafakhur now. I need to show now who I am, what my worth is, how much I can do. Then strength also, how strong I am, how intelligent I am. And after that now the person goes to old age. Now when he is old, now that handsomeness is gone, the strength is gone, The memory too is not as sharp as it was. So he no more can be in the tafakhur stage. So now he is in takasurun fil amwali wal olad. So by, you know, got 10 grandchildren now. How many grandchildren you got? So I've got 10 grandchildren. One is studying that, one is doing this, one is in this country, other one is in the other country. Now I'm just checking some property there now. I'm going with the agent. I bought the other property this side. Yeah, those properties on that road belong to us. It's in the family for so long. So takasurun fil amwali wal olad. And these things, we take it so much to heart, so much to heart, that sometimes if there is a little bit loss, there's a small dispute, there's something, and we're going to lose maybe 1% of what we really own. But we are prepared to fight to the end. We'll go to court, we'll stop talking to the next person, family ties will break, everything will happen, but my dunya mustn't get lost. We behave at that stage like the child that we took to visit by the friend's house. How the child fights for that toy, we are fighting for dunya. In every stage we are like that. The person who is in a stage of la'ib, of lah, he is arguing that the referee made the wrong decision. He knows nothing, he's sitting at home, but he's arguing, what have the coach did wrong, that one did wrong, he's in lah. If anybody tries to reason with him, sometimes it ends in first hiccups. The person who is in zina, he feels now, the label I'm wearing is the best. The car wash I take my car to is the best. The barber who cuts my hair is the best. And nobody can argue with him. And the tafakhur stage is the same. And takasurun fil amwari wal ulad is the same. But Allah Ta'ala says, kamathali ghayf. All of this, whichever stage it is, kamathali ghayf, it is just like some rainfall that has come down. A'jabal kuffar, kamathali ghayfin, this rain came down, this rain mixed with the vegetation of the earth, and it made some crops grow, made the fruit trees grow, made the roses bloom, everything is blooming. So أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج. Then he starts drying. He starts drying. فطراه مصفرا. And then you see it become yellow. It goes yellow also, it's dying. And after that it even breaks up. That rose that's blooming. It's blooming, so much of compost, so much of this and that, to make those roses come out. For a while it's blooming, it's looking so beautiful. But after that what happens? It withers, becomes dry, it falls off, has to be thrown away, swept away. So this dunya is exactly like that. We're chasing behind it, we're trying to acquire it. No matter how much we have, we're trying to get more. There's just no end to it. Allah Ta'ala is reminding us in the end, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. But in the hereafter, there is very severe azab, very severe punishment. And also, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ. One side there is punishment. And the other side, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. There is forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. There is the happiness of Allah Ta'ala, which is the greatest ni'mat. And Allah Ta'ala is then warning us, is informing us. Allah is the creator of this world. Allah is telling us, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. That the saman of this world, the things of this world, is nothing but deception. Goods of deception. One day I was in one Kabristan, and there was one elderly uncle there. He wasn't an alim or anything, but elderly person. So I was walking out with him, and all of a sudden he turned around and he said, Morana, in Gujarati he was telling me, he said, no, all these people are liars. He's pointing at all the qabars. So all these people are liars. Yeah, I'm thinking now, how can you talk like this now? You mustn't talk bad about people who have passed. But he didn't take anybody's name. It's just in general. He's just saying, all these people are liars. So he must have seen the shocked look on my face. So he then explained himself. He said, this one was saying, my car, my house, my property, my wife, my bank account, my this, my that. What he took in with it? He went away in the cupboard, he left everything behind. He's not laying claim to it anymore. There is one incident that's written in the kitab of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. You know, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah Ali was one of the khalifas in the history of Islam, and it is mentioned with regards to his era that he actually, his era was like he brought back the golden days of the Khulafa-i Rashidin. So he is even called Umar the Second. They refer to him like that. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah Ali, once he followed one janaza. There was a janaza going, so he followed the janaza. He went to the Qabristan. And after all the burial, everything was finished. So people noticed him sitting on one side. So he was the Khalifa at the time. They went up to him, everything okay? Why are you sitting alone one side? So he said, no, the grave called me. He said, the grave called me. Now whether Allah Ta'ala had given him some kashf at that time or whether he was just giving some advice from his side, but he said, the grave called me. And the grave addressed me and said, that do you want to know how I receive the dead body? And somebody is put into me, do you want to know how I received that body? And the grave went on to tell me that first I shred his coffin and then I take hold of his body. I drink his blood, I consume his meat, and then I separate all his joints. So that is exactly what happens when a person goes into the qabr, illa mashallah, you will get those people whom Allah Ta'ala preserves their bodies, the shuhada, pious people, etc. Allah Ta'ala preserves their bodies. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, their bodies are haram on the earth. But generally, this is what happens. A person is put into the qabr, body will decompose, the coffin also will be gone. Sometime you may just find a few bones after some years. At other times, absolutely nothing. So he's giving this explanation of what happens to the body when the body goes in the qabr. And then he mentioned, he said that this life in this world is so short. But there are so many things that attract man, that pull man away from his real objective on earth, make him forget his real objective on earth. And really, if we have to analyze the whole thing, we will really see the deception in it. We will see the deception in it. So Allah Ta'ala tells us that sabiku, sabiku, hasten, sabiku ila maghfiratim min rabbikum, that hasten towards this forgiveness from your Rabb. Allah Ta'ala is so forgiving. Allah Ta'ala is so forgiving that no matter what a person does, no matter what type of a life a person led, but as long as a person turns to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is there to forgive that person. Insan will hold grudges. Insan sometimes forgives and doesn't forget. But Allah Rabbul Izzat, when Allah Ta'ala forgives, you take Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, if we have to read up what he did before becoming a Muslim. I mean, in the end he took the sword now. No, he is going now to finish Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam off. Even him, when he turned to Allah Ta'ala not only forgave him, where Allah Ta'ala took him, that today we refer to him as Amirul Mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala gave him such glory days in his Khilafat. Islam spread to which corners of the world. So Allah Ta'ala holds no grudges. Allah Ta'ala, when Allah forgives us, Allah Ta'ala wipes it out from the memory of the Malaika also. Whatever gunas we committed, Allah Ta'ala wipes it out from the memory of the Malaika also. It's wiped out from the memory of earth. It's wiped out from the memory of our limbs. It's wiped out from our Nama-e-Amal. So Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is complete. But it is for us to turn to Allah Ta'ala. It is for us to make ruju in Allah. It is for us to realize why Allah Ta'ala has put me here. If we have to analyze our life, how many years we spend what we call studying, going to school, high school, university, then going into some business, some practice, whatever. And then if we have to analyze that from morning till night, how much of time do I utilize to earn things of this world? How much of time gets utilized? And then let me weigh that against the time that I am using for my deen. How much of time am I using to progress in my deen? How many of us are even checking whether we're reading Quran Sharif properly? How much of time? Ask ourselves that, do I even find a 5 minute or a 10 minute to make ta'lim in my house? To sit with my family and talk about Allah Ta'ala. Read one hadith of Huzur-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do I have time even for that? Everything of the dunya takes precedence. It takes preference. We got meetings, we got work. Once one jamaat had come to the masjid. It was a jamaat of students. They had completed whatever they were studying in the university. And they went out in jamaat, alhamdulillah. So now their time was almost over. And one of the last masjids they came to was the masjid day in Peter Marisburg. So I was sitting with them one day and I said, right, okay, what are you going to be doing now? So they were giving, all of them gave the similar explanation. You know, we were finished, we got our degrees now. So we went out in jamaat, you know, we just said we just take a cool off period, like, you know, go out in jamaat for a while. Now when we go home, we'll start work. So I told them, I said, see, Allah Ta'ala, you know, bless you all, give you all barakat, whatever. But see, change your mindset. So change your mindset. So see, all this time, you went to school, you went to high school, university, all this you did. You were taking time out. You were having a break. The time you went in jamaat, you were doing work. That time you were doing work. Because that time you were doing what Allah Pak sent you for. And now you're going back home, again you're going to chill. Again you're going now to do other things. So unless you make your life, your whole life becomes for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, for our iman, ensure that our aqaid stays correct, and we are, you know, exerting ourselves to become closer to Allah Ta'ala, attain the marifat of Allah Ta'ala, worship Allah Ta'ala, follow the sunnah of Huzur-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as we are doing that, then everything in our life becomes ibadat. Everything in our life becomes ibadat. But as soon as we move away from that, then we are in ghaflat. We are in ghaflat, and we are throwing away our akhirat. We are choosing this temporary world and we are throwing away our akhirat. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala keep us with istiqamat, our progenies to come till qiyamat. Keep us with strong iman. Give us tawfiq to carry out nek amal and to continuously ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah is there to forgive us, and Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring the sunnats of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.